Lord, we pray that your spirit might fill us, that we might hear your voice and see your son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Growing up in country WA, I'm sure that there were few atheists as ardent as what I was. Many of my peers assumed that if they didn't bother God, then God wouldn't bother them. To me, it seemed a little like laziness. But looking back, I wondered if it was more to do with fear, particularly the fear of change, or more specifically, the fear of responsibility. It wasn't the fear of God's majesty and power, but this fear that they might need to do something if God ever found them. So looking for God felt like searching for something that I couldn't see or feel or touch or smell. It was one thing to go looking for God. It was another thing to let God into your life. I'm sure this is why we tell our kids never to let a stray cat in the house, because once God comes in, well, you'll just never get rid of it. And we see something of this in our stories this morning. The disciples want to see God, but their perceptions need a little adjustment. For what lies at the heart of a relationship with God is not fear, but love. And if you open yourself up to love, well, who knows what might just happen. That, I believe, is the promise and the hope and the challenge of Pentecost. Growing up, I thought my atheism was well grounded in science. Like many, I assumed that science simply had nothing good to say about religion. What I loved about science was its focus on things that were observable, verifiable, and falsifiable. But what intrigued me most was the human world, particularly how things that couldn't be seen, touched, felt, or smelt just seemed to have such a profound impact upon life and our world. Things like fear and resentment, things like hate and racism, things like privilege and inequality. Like wind on a lake, you can't see these things, but you sure can see everything that they stir up. But these aren't the only invisible forces at work in our world today. Things like love and justice, things like hope and compassion, things like faith and truth, these things blow across our world today, like wind on a lake. So I'm rather sympathetic when I hear Philip's question today, when he asks Jesus the simple question, show us the Father and we'll be content. We'll be satisfied, Jesus, if you just make this invisible God thing all a little bit more visible to us, observable and beyond any doubt whatsoever. When we hear Philip ask this question, I know that it's easy to think of him as somehow being dim-witted, or to hear in Jesus' voice something like exasperation. But I wonder if something more is going on than what we realise. Like many of us, I wonder if Philip is asking for proof. He wants to encounter God with all his senses. He wants to have an experience of God like Moses or Isaiah. Do that, he says to Jesus. Do that, and then it will all be real and strong and certain beyond any doubt whatsoever. But Jesus' response isn't quite what we expect, is it? Jesus reminds Philip of his relationship that Jesus shares with God. Believe me, says Jesus, I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see, these works. Like waves on a lake, blown by an invisible wind, Jesus calls Philip's attention to his actions. If you want to know God, Jesus says, look at what I've been doing this whole time. Jesus wasn't someone who simply yelled at everyone for how badly they were doing this whole God thing. John's gospel shows us something really different. John's gospel shows us this God who invites and welcomes people to travel with him. What's more, this God goes to parties. This God gets angry at injustice. This God welcomes questions and sets people free from those things that are tearing them apart. This is why this God spent so much time healing and restoring people. What's more, this Jesus is not afraid of people who claim to know more about God than he does. Leaders who worked out systems, religious systems that privileged themselves and left others out in the cold, he was not afraid of them. And so Jesus says, if you want to know what God is like, if you want to discover what God thinks about and wants, then look carefully at Jesus, because he is consistent and authentic. He is the real deal. There's no daylight between Jesus and the Father. But Jesus doesn't simply make the invisible clear. He promises to send someone who will help the disciples to have the same kind of relationship that Jesus enjoys with God. In fact, this helper will enable them to do even greater things than what Jesus did. He promises them the Paraclete. We didn't hear this word in the translation this morning. This word Paraclete has puzzled translators for centuries. You can hear it in the range of English words that they use to describe this role of the Holy Spirit. From translation to translation. Some call it an advocate. Others speak of him as a comforter, as a counselor, as a champion, or even as a true friend. The Paraclete is the Holy Spirit, who, as Jesus says, like a true friend, plays an important role in our lives, speaking the truth, being the truth teller. We might ask, so what is this truth that the Spirit speaks? And what consequences arise from hearing this truth? Writing to the early Christians in Rome, I think Paul gives us a great glimpse of how the Spirit speaks truth into our lives in three ways. The first truth of which the Spirit speaks concerns the nature of God's identity as Father, or more specifically, as Abba. I know for many of us, this word Father can be a difficult word to hear, particularly when we've grown up in a world where fathers can be disappointing. Some can be stern and emotionally distant, figures like King George V. Or they can be inept but well-intentioned figures, pretty much like Homer Simpson. But Paul wants to convey something different, and he uses this word Abba, an Aramaic word which Jesus uses to describe his own relationship with God. Specifically on that night in that garden. This is an unusual word because it's a word that would be commonly used by small children to speak of their affection for their parent. The equivalent today might be a word like papa or dad. The Spirit enables God to be known not as a remote authority figure, someone to be feared, but someone with whom we can experience love and warmth and affection. The second truth that the Spirit conveys concerns our identity. Our identity as children. While the weight of this word, this turn of phrase might escape us today, to Paul's audience, it was as sharp as it was poignant. Because in the ancient world, heritage was everything. Not only did your present status depend entirely upon past achievements, it shaped all the opportunities that would unfold for you and for your family. So if you were a citizen of Rome, it was because you or your family had served with honour. And so it bestowed all kinds of rights to you and to your children. But if you were a slave, then you or your family had failed in abject terms. And your future depended entirely on the whims and the appetites of your master. Paul makes it clear that we are not slaves with God, but we are God's children. His beloved children, gathered from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. We're brought into this family by a God who is exceedingly generous, giving us places of honour and giving us a future where we had none. The third truth that this Spirit speaks of is this, that the kind of relationship that Jesus shared with Abba is the relationship that is open to all of us. Jesus is our elder brother. And all that is shared with Christ is now shared and open to us. And because we can receive it, we can share it with others. The Spirit speaks truth, all right. It's the truth about Abba's love. It's the truth about us as the beloved. And it's the truth that this love can be shared with the whole world. So what happens if you begin to hear this truth of which the Spirit speaks? Well, I dare say that it will change your world. Your world will change from a fear mentality to one that is filled with love. We can hear this in our reading about Pentecost. It's easy for our vision to be transfixed by that vision of the fire of God dancing upon the heads of the apostles as fire. It's easy to be captivated by the story of them speaking in tongues from all over the world. That we can easily miss the weight and the importance of Peter's speech. I know that to many of us, Peter's speech can sound deeply foreboding. And I must admit, it's pretty scary to hear of him speak of wonders in the sky, all that fire and blood and smoke. Well, that's not an entirely appealing sight, is it? The day of the Lord, as Peter speaks, seems to loom as one of judgment. But I think we are to listen more deeply, that if the Spirit speaks of love, then perhaps what Peter is speaking of is not destruction, but awakening. The Spirit is poured upon all people, on men and women alike. All of God's children receives the same Spirit, and no one is left out. I know that in our church today, being a prophet is a word that is deeply misunderstood. We tend to associate prophets with people who believe themselves to be somehow recipients of hidden and special knowledge. Or we can liken it to people who are just plain cranky and cantankerous with everybody else. But I think prophets today are better understood as people who speak about God's love for all of creation, of God's hopes and dreams for humanity. And what does this spirit of love look like or sound like? How do we know it? How do we see this wind dance upon the waves? Simply that young people will have visions, while older ones will dream dreams. Each will offer the world something that neither group is naturally associated with. As a father of young people, I can tell you how easily or how much they are focused on the present and how little they think about the future. They get transfixed by what is immediately in front of them, quite often a YouTube clip. That they can't imagine anything beyond their current needs or wants or desires. Often that present is filled with fear and uncertainty. And when fear is in charge, then people turn inward. They become competitive and self-protective. Similarly, those of us who are a little older can find that our focus is always upon the little bit that lies ahead. When fear gets into our hearts and minds, then that future can look dark and brooding. It can feel clouded with loss and filled with feelings that are real or imagined. How many of us experience nightmares when we think about the future? But with the Spirit, the Spirit does something different. Young people are given visions. They are given the capacity to see things that are not yet here. Visions are things that are hoped for, things which can be realized now through determined action. With God's help, those of us who are older can dream dreams. Dreams of the way in which the world ought to be. Dreams of a future that are warm and inviting. Dreams that help us to see the difference that love makes in this world. No wonder then that Christians, throughout much of our history, have been talking about things, having visions and dreams of things like equality and inclusion, fairness and honesty. It's no wonder that Christians have taken strong roles to dismantle slavery, to start up trade unions, to stand for equality and inclusion. No wonder then that those who are deeply invested in privilege and deception, racism and inequality think that the world is about to end. Pentecost is a reminder that we don't go looking for God so much as that God never stops looking for us. The Spirit comes to us to help us to experience God as Abba, as our Abba, and to realize that we are deeply beloved children, children who are beloved just as much as Jesus, our elder brother. And when the Spirit speaks into our lives, love begins to fill up all those places where fear once dwelt. By filling us with love, we start to have visions and dreams of a better world, a fairer world, a more inclusive world, a just world. That's what Pentecost is all about. And so I pray that this morning that the Spirit might come and fill us with visions and dreams filled with love that will change our world forever. Amen.